Welcome to Earth Eats, a show of real food and green living. I'm Annie Corrigan.
And I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
I like experimenting with different flavors and combinations, and I just appreciate it more than if I go to the store and buy, you know, Breyers ice cream or whatever.
That's Earth Eats blogger Sarah Kaiser talking about her love of homemade ice cream. She'll be making watermelon sorbet today. And we speak with a woman behind the outrageous flavors of Jenny's Splendid ice creams. But first, here's Mia Partlow with a look at this week's news.
The USDA recently released an interactive map of the nation's food deserts, but a number of urban bloggers are calling foul on the mapping rationale. First of all, the definition of a food desert is, quote, a low-income census tract where a substantial number of residents has low access to a supermarket or large grocery store, unquote. The problem is that the term grocery store does not include corner stores, ethnic markets, butchers, or greengrocers. Annie Schmidt of DC Streets blog points out that the report overlooked the very logical, business-oriented reason that supermarkets tend not to crop up in low-density cities like Detroit and Cleveland. Large-chain supermarkets require a very large customer base to sustain them. In low-density cities where many people don't have cars and therefore require their stores to be within walking distance, no supermarket could reach the customer base it needs in order to meet its costs. Just as the culprit of this summer's deadly E. coli outbreak in Europe was finally narrowed down to one of four types of sprouts grown on a German farm, the U.S. has also reported problems with sprouts. According to the FDA, alfalfa and spicy sprouts grown at Evergreen Produce in Florida may carry salmonella. This outbreak has already been linked to 20 illnesses in Idaho, Montana, New Jersey, North Dakota, and Washington. And Jack in the Box will no longer offer toys in their kids' meals. Spokesman Brian Lescombe says, quote, we've offered kids' meals as a convenience for parents, but rather than promote a toy, we focused on the quality of products in our kids' meals, unquote. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter to get more news updates like this all week long. Just search for Earth Eats. For Earth Eats, I'm Mia Partlow.
What would a hot summer day be without ice cream? Now, I'm not talking about the chocolate and vanilla swirl soft serve stuff. How about bourbon buttered pecan or pistachio and honey? Or what about wild berry lavender? These outlandish ice cream flavors come from the culinary imagination of Jenny Britton Bauer, co-founder of Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams.
Jenny's flavors are divided into kind of two different categories. They have the signature flavors that they have all year round, and that includes some of their really famous flavors like the salty caramel, which is the number one flavor. And then they have the seasonal flavors, which change every month or two. And then at the moment, they have the bake shop flavors. And so those are things like honey butter cake and Roxbury Road, which is Jenny's version of a Rocky Road with homemade marshmallows.
That's Bethia Wolf of Columbus Food Adventures. She leads tours of foodie hotspots throughout Columbus, Ohio. I was lucky enough to get a personal tour recently. To start off, she took me to the North Market, which is Columbus's only public farmer's market. Jenny's Splendid Ice Creams has a booth at the market, so of course we did some sampling.
And then the flavor which I think you definitely should try is this corn syrup custard with whiskey and pecans. And this is made with the Middle West Spirits whiskey, which Jenny bought the whole first batch.
Okay, so we're going to try this.
Oh, wow.
It's like pecan pie.
You know, it's like pecan pie with just forget the crust and just like put all the good stuff in ice cream. And then, you know, Jenny uses a lot of local ingredients. She uses a lot of local honey and things. She uses, like in the goat cheese ice cream, they use goat cheese from McKenzie Creamery, which is closer to Cleveland. So have you tried the goat cheese one before?
I haven't.
I think you should try that. In the summer, they do goat cheese with roasted cherries, which is really popular. And people are like, oh, it's just like cheesecake.
Whoa, that's unusual. In a good way. I have to retrain myself to think that this maybe is not dessert, that maybe this is something savory that I should have at the beginning of my meal.
The Gravel Road one is really savory. That's the salty caramel, and then it's got almonds in it, roasted almonds, and that one is definitely more savory than sweet. And then obviously because you're visiting from Indiana, you should try the Buckeye State, which is chocolate peanut butter, which is based on the Buckeyes, and they use a local peanut butter called Crema. And it's the oldest peanut butter factory company in the country.
This is the one that
I eat when nobody is here. Just stand here and eat it.
Yeah. You know, that is the best thing I've tasted so far. And the peanut butter, the fact that that's Hatsi Tatsi peanut butter, you can tell. It's delicious. That's a different kind of flavor than I've ever gotten in a peanut butter ice cream.
They also, if you like that one, then you might like the other peanut butter flavor, which is the Bangkok peanut, which is, I think used to call it a Thai chili, and it has some heat in it.
Whoa. That's a surprise kick at the end in the back of my throat. Yeah. Oh, that's delicious.
You guys try Queen City?
That's the other one that has a kick.
And that's a milk chocolate with cinnamon and cayenne pepper instead of Bangkok peanut, which is sort of like a slow burn the whole time. It's just really spicy right at the end, sort of in the back of your throat.
Wait for it. Wait, there it is. That's really delicious. Wow.
Fun. You don't want to try any more?
Oh my god. Take me away, quick. Thanks to Hannah Curran for scooping out the ice cream samples for us. Stay tuned in the upcoming weeks for more food stories from Columbus, Ohio with Bethia Wolf. In the meantime, check out all the great tours she offers around Columbus at columbusfoodadventures.com. If you're not lucky enough to live close enough to visit the North Market or one of Jenny's splendid ice cream's six other locations in Columbus, you can find pints of her stuff at retail stores throughout the country. Or if you're more DIY than that, there's a way to bring her ice cream creativity into your kitchen. Jenny's new cookbook is all about making the home cook the artisan. With 15 years of ice cream making experience at her disposal, she went into her home kitchen armed with nothing but your basic ice cream maker and succeeded in mimicking the products she creates in her professional kitchen. Us non-professionals will certainly benefit from her labors.
Because ice cream is different. It's not cupcakes where you can put, you know, it's like, you know, pretty easy to make. Ice cream is very much a science, and you have to have everything in balance mm-hmm. in order to get it right.
For me, I'm not someone who cooks all that often, and the idea of making my own ice cream seems really, really daunting. So give me some tips and tricks that would help a beginner like me get started.
Well, my recipe is very easy to follow. I created this base recipe that's sturdy, that's ready for any addition you want to put in it. So once you get past that, it's like the sky's the limit.
Which we can see in the flavors of ice cream that you create. Really, like, you have some combinations that are just insanely out there, but end up being really, really delicious. So what are some of your more crazy but tasty ice cream selections?
Let's see. Well, I'll tell you, one of the flavors that we have in the book is the Gorgonzola with candied walnuts. And it's wonderful. It sounds kind of strange. When we're making it in the kitchen, the whole kitchen starts to smell like Gorgonzola, which if you walked in off the street, you know, you might be thinking it was really disgusting, kind of, you know. But in the ice cream, it tastes wonderful, and it is one of my favorite cheeses. Smoked ice creams, we actually use smoked tea to impart that flavor, and so we can use that in a lot of different things, and it's really fun. Of course, bacon. We've done bacon over the years, and lots of different meats, actually. Smoked salmon. And so I grew up in the market. I was in the North Market, which is like this indoor public market full of exotic and local ingredients everywhere. So pretty much everything in that market went into ice creams at some point over the last 15 years.
Wow. I'm still stuck on the idea of bacon in my ice cream. That sort of blows my mind, but I guess you get the sweet and the salty in there.
Well, I've always said bacon is a condiment, like a nut. You know, it's not like a, you know, part of the four food groups. So yeah, you can just sort of treat it like a nut.
Well, my father's favorite flavor is the olive oil with sea salted pepitas. He loves it. So how did you come up with that idea?
Well, actually, my friend Meredith Kurtzman, who is Mario Batali's gelato chef, turned me on to olive oil gelato. But beyond that, I got hooked up here locally with an importer called the Olive Orchard. They bring in olive oils, single origin, from all over the world, and they're here in Columbus. This olive oil is like super green and has like peppery notes. And so those green pepitas with the sea salt were like the perfect. Yeah, definitely.
So it's summertime, obviously, and that not only means that people are eating ice cream by the bucketfuls, there are also plenty of seasonal ingredients for you to choose from when creating flavors. So talk me through some of the seasonal foods you put into your ice creams.
So in the summer, we follow the arc of the summer, the arc of the harvest. So in the beginning, we have rhubarb and then all the berries, and then we go into mint, which will be early this year, thanks to our friend Val, who's growing it in a different way, starting it in a greenhouse. our sweet corn and black raspberry will hit in August. We're going to hope to do something with peaches and buttermilk, which we try to do every year, but if the peaches aren't good, we usually don't. Beet cake with black walnuts is another one we'll do at the end of the year. We shred beets and candy them and then put it in like a cream cheese ice cream with black walnuts. Amazing. And then a new one for this year, which is so good, is our Parmesan ice cream with our zucchini bread. But the zucchini bread is almost like between a bread and a cake. It's from the old Lazarus recipe, which is a local department store that's very, very old here, but it's gone away now, and it's got such an amazing history. So it's their recipe, and they've given us permission to use it.
Oh, that sounds so good.
It's amazing. It's the best zucchini bread we've ever had.
I'm going to have to tell my parents who live in Ohio to look for that. They'll be so excited.
Yes. End of the season. You know, it's funny. It's like in Ohio, we have so much zucchini. I could call people like, got any strawberries or black raspberries or, you know, whatever. And like, no, we got zucchini. You know, so we're like, okay, well, this year we're gonna play with that a little bit and make something with zucchini.
Oh, how fun. Fun. Well, let's talk about Snowville Creamery, the place where you get all of your milk and your cream. What is it about their product that you like so much? Is it more than just buying locally, or is there something specific about their stuff?
Yeah, it's much more than just buying locally. In fact, our whole philosophy is much more than buying locally. We try to go with what we believe is the best, you know. And of course, when you know the people who are producing it for you, often that makes the best. If you're an ice cream maker, cream and milk is the foundation upon which you build flavor. You can't begin with an overprocessed, overpasteurized milk and cream, because it tastes flat. You don't get that round butter fat flavor in your nose that is what makes great ice cream great. So what makes that taste like that is that the cows eat grass. It's a much fuller, rounder, more voluptuous flavor when cows eat grass that they're naturally meant to eat, because they digest the grass fully. So it's funny, because Warren, our dairy guy, and me have this like ongoing debate. You know, he says that grass-fed milk and cream is better for health. It's packed with, you know, the fat in that cream and milk is packed with omega-3s and CLAs, and he'll go on and on. And I say, oh, Warren, be quiet. It's better because it's more delicious, you know? And anyway, we sort of go back and forth like a bad beer commercial in that way. But it's really fun. But so if you're an ice cream maker, you have to start with the best ingredients. That has to be sort of, and it is our lifelong pursuit. So that's been an awesome partnership.
Oh, well put, well put. So the something that struck me when I was tasting your ice creams is that some of the flavors don't taste like dessert to me. Some flavors taste like it could go with a cheese plate, or perhaps it could be a palate cleanser after an appetizer or something. So this might be a little bit of a tricky question, but if you could think of some of your flavors and then put them in various parts of the meal.
Well, and you're right about that. My husband, Charlie, isn't really a dessert person, and he never has been. So every time I make ice cream for him, I always have to think about, he loves, you know, he has cheese for dessert instead of, you know, other desserty type things. And But you definitely could, I mean, traditionally, of course, you can use sorbets in the middle of a meal. We've had chefs put, like, our goat cheese ice cream in, like, a soup or on a salad. You know, the other thing is our Thai chili. You can actually, all right, so this is fun, and I've done this before. You can actually put it on chicken and bake it, and it can become a part of your chicken. So we have it's not called Thai chili anymore. It's called Bangkok peanut, but it's peanut butter, coconut. It's toasted coconut to coconut milk and a little bit of cayenne and then cream. And it's like, it's delicious if you can like brush it on chicken and bake it that way.
That sounds awesome.
I've actually marinated pork loins, or tenderloins, the small one, in sorbets, and it's pretty great. Like if we do like a mango, some of the stronger sorbets, I've actually marinated. If you marinate it overnight, it will take on that flavor. It's kind of strange, but it's good. It's kind of a wow thing.
Oh, very
cool. For party.
As an ice cream maker and presumably a lover of ice cream, defend the eating of ice cream to our calorie-obsessed culture.
Okay, so I don't know anybody who's calorie-obsessed, so I must be living in like a different place, maybe over the rainbow or something, because I'm in the ice cream business. But the truth is, I would rather have one amazingly dense, voluptuous spoonful of amazing ice cream that melts into your throat and up your nose, you know, with the finish, than a whole pint of something or a whole gallon of something that was forgettable. Choosing the best experience, you can have less of it. Yeah, definitely.
I can give you what you want.
Cool.
All right, well, thanks so much.
I appreciate it.
All right, take care.
Okay, you too.
Bye-bye.
read more about Jenny Brittenbauer's splendid ice creams on our website, eartheats.org. So now let's go into the kitchen. Sarah Kaiser just loves to cook, and she blogs about it on our website. She got into ice cream making through a friend and has been going gangbusters ever since. Her ice cream maker is sort of busted. She does have to tape the lid on, but it still works.
Oh, so the first thing that I ever made that, you know, doesn't require a lot of preparation is just low-fat milk and sugar and then peppermint. And it makes a really nice, light, you know, kind of icy, but the mint works really well with the iciness. And so that's what I made first, and it doesn't take that much time at all. You just mix together the ingredients, put them in the ice cream maker. It's like 5 or 10 minutes, and then 30 minutes to freeze. You could put chocolate chips in. And
I'm thinking hot fudge on top.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, that sounds great.
Yeah.
From there, she's gone on to make a delicious pumpkin and ginger custard, among other creatively flavored ice creams. Today, she's experimenting with some new flavors for her in this sorbet recipe, watermelon with lime and rye. I stopped by her house the day after she made the sorbet to have a taste.
Should I start at the beginning? Maybe we should start.
So, how'd you do it?
Okay, so I took a 9-pound seedless watermelon. And I cut it in half and scooped out the chunks and put them in the food processor. And, you know, pureed batches at a time and then strained out all the water. Okay. Then you get, like, watermelon puree, basically. And once I had that, I probably got, like, 3 or 4 cups of puree out of the...
Out of a 9-pound watermelon?
Well, yeah. And then however much liquid this is, which is, like, half of a spaghetti pot. And then I used the juice from one lime and put that in there. And then I made a syrup with 1/2 cup of sugar and 6 tablespoons of watermelon juice. And then you mix that into with the puree. But when you put your ice cream mix into the ice cream maker, you want it to be as cold as possible. So I put that mixture in the freezer and, like, waited 1/2 hour and then came back and put it in the ice cream maker. So maybe, like, 1/2 hour of preparation.
1/2 hour of waiting.
1/2 hour of waiting, then 1/2 hour again of waiting while I waited for it to actually go through the ice cream maker process and freeze. Yeah.
Well, what I remember as a kid, like, we would go into the driveway and we'd have this old-fashioned ice cream maker that we had to churn by hand, and there was, like, salt and crap in it that was flying out and was totally unappetizing. And at the end, the ice cream was like, okay, I guess. We made it, which is cool, but...
Yeah. I've made that ice cream before. Not with a churner, but, like, in Girl Scouts, we took 2 plastic bags, a little one inside a big one, and then put the salt and ice in the middle and then kicked it around.
I think all Girl Scouts did that because I totally did that.
Yeah, or maybe it was a can. It was like kick the can ice cream or something. Yeah, yeah. And it didn't turn out frozen at the end.
No, it was not
frozen at all. Yeah. It was like half liquid. Right, yeah.
So can we taste it?
Yes, for sure. So one thing I forgot to add is that it has cream, a little bit of cream in it.
So... this is watermelon sorbet with lime?
Lime and rye, too.
That's so good.
Yeah? Okay. Good.
I want to taste the rye, though.
Yeah.
I don't...
You don't. Yeah, it's only a little bit. And part of the reason that you put it in is it helps chill the liquid.
So then, why did you select rye?
Because that's what I had. But also because I thought it would be nice, like, sort of... I mean, I really like rye. So it's kind of a personal thing. But I thought it would be a nice sour, kind of sweet flavor combination, I guess. There's a lot of stuff in there, though. You know, there's the creaminess and then the lime. Can you taste the lime?
I can taste the lime. And now that you say that, the creaminess is really evident. Mm-hmm. Like, it's a sorbet that has that sort of crumbly sorbet texture to it. But then there's this fullness in the mouth because of the cream, I guess.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I'm glad you like it. No, it's good because it's watermelon season right now, you know, and the watermelon are so good. Watermelons are so good right now.
Find Sarah Kaiser's recipe for this watermelon sorbet with lime and rye on our website. You can also try out her pumpkin and ginger custard recipe. It's all at eartheats.org.
Support for Earth Eats comes from Blooming Foods Market and Deli. Information at bloomingfoods.coop.
production support also comes from goodsforcooks.com, online at goodsforcooks.com.
Earth Eats is a production of WFIU Public Media. Thanks for listening. I'm Chef Daniel Orr.
And I'm Annie Corrigan. See you next time.